Leafs talk. J.D. Bungus, Sam McKee. Leafs win 5-3 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Buddy, I want to start with just thought for it before we dive into the game. I know it is technically a rivalry with this team. Like, they've played these playoff games. And maybe it's because Tampa, to me, is a little meh. Maybe it's like it's because we've known a better version of the Tampa Bay Lightning. But I don't feel like the juice for this game. Like I do with the Bruins or with the Habs. And like the Panthers are the measuring stick team. So there's a little bit of something to that when you're the Stanley Cup champs. But I don't know. Maybe I'm totally alone on this. Maybe I'm just like the only person that feels this way. But yeah, I don't know. There's not as much juice to the Tampa series as I would expect, given like the entire NHL playoff format was rejiggered to essentially try to create rivalries within your own division. I enjoyed tonight's game. I thought that the Leafs really played well. I loved the way that Toronto responded in this game to multiple pushes from Tampa Bay. Like the second period, it kind of felt like Toronto took their foot off the gas a little bit. Maybe Tampa started to give them like a really big push. And then ultimately Toronto just ends up, you know, kind of responding throughout the game. But I feel this way when I watch the Leafs play the Habs. I feel this way when I watch the Leafs play the Bruins of like, damn, I really want them to be able to get this win. And tonight, I didn't really feel that same kind of juice. I would say I feel it a little bit with John Cooper, where I don't know. There's something about maybe Cooper's familiarity. I certainly don't like Nikita Kucherov. But yeah, for this many playoffs, for this many experiences that we've had with Tampa Bay here in Toronto, I don't feel the type of urgency to face the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I think there's a very simple reason for all of that that I heard is that the Leafs win. The Leafs beat them.
Yeah.
So you don't have fear of them. So they just win every time. They win. They've won all three this year. Literally the Leafs only foray past the first round in this entire era is beating them in really, really dramatic fashion. And you have no fear of their starting goalie. They played their backup goalie. They shoot holes in him too. They really kind of sneaky own the Tampa Bay Lightning. And this is how Bruins fans feel about the Leafs. They just like, oh, it's not a rivalry because we just beat them all the time.
Yeah, but there's some original six too, though, and like some regionality.
I think, yeah, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like it's like a team from Tampa named after a storm. It's not the Bruins or the Habs for sure. Yeah. But like the Leafs have played in multiple playoff series against these guys. Like I get up for Lightning games. That's a really, really good team over there. And yeah, I just think that you feel those ways because they just beat them all the time.
I don't know. I definitely feel partially, though, because I think that Tampa's on the decline. Like, I know they grabbed Gensel. I know Point is still an animal. Can't wait to watch him. I feel like Kucherov plays poorly against the Leafs.
On the decline?
The Tampa?
I completely disagree with that.
Yeah.
They're sneaky, one of the better teams in the league to me. I don't think they're on the decline at all. They're going to make some additions at the deadline, and they're going to fill out that bottom six. I still think they're a really, really dangerous team.
That's not what I'm saying, though. I'm not saying that they're not a dangerous team. I'm just saying that comparatively with the Tampa Bay Lightning team that was going back-to-back, like, I don't know how you could say they're not on the decline. They looked like they were like a modern-day cap dynasty. They were an absolutely stacked team that was finding ways to, like, circumvent their cap and keep their guys together. Yeah. And now it's just like, yeah, some of their guys are aging a little bit. Clearly, the bloom is not the same on the Rose with Vasilevsky, who they don't even play tonight. Like, they decide to...
They hit
sit him for the halves because the Leafs own him so badly. I definitely think that they're an aged team. They don't have Stamkos there anymore. Like they're just different. Like they're very different from what they were.
Yeah, I think they're really good. I think they played excellent tonight for really a lot of that game. Like they took it to the Leafs pretty good in the second period. Thought it was a good third period, but I really do think, you know, that if they don't get that late goal at the end of the second period, that we're talking about a Lightning win here, or even, you know, yeah, or a tie going to overtime or whatever. Like I thought for a lot of the night, Lightning had a lot of great chance. Like I was really, really impressed by a couple guys in them. Kucherov doesn't play well against the Leafs. There's no way that he ever plays well against the Leafs because maybe in a couple playoff series, makes a lot of mistakes against the Leafs. Lazy, bad passes. Like
it's just so crazy watching over and over again as they're like pressing to try to get back in the game. And he just, how many like offensive sets did he just kill, murder with horrible hope passes.
For sure.
Like trying to just filter it through the middle of the ice when there was nobody there and there was multiple defenders in between him. Like, I get it. He, you know, has 100 assists last year. Mm-hmm. He's one of the elite playmakers of the game. That comes mm-hmm. with some of that. But my God, he was a dog tonight, I thought.
There's certain nights where if you're John Cooper, he's turning your hair grayer than it already is. Yeah. There's other nights where he makes you want to get a dye job, where he starts turning it up and he's unbelievably snapping it around. He's amazing on the power play. Great sneaky passer. The one play he made where he did that little drop pass to Braden Point when he was going at full speed, it was unbelievable. But I got to tell you, I thought this was an awesome hockey game between two really good teams where, you know, we got the Four Nations face-off coming up here in a couple weeks, which I'm really, really starting to get excited for and really kind of dialing in on. Mm-hmm. And you just see a ton of the talent that's going to be on display in that tournament here. You know, you got Matthews, you got Marner, you got Point, you got Hedman, Nylander, Hagel, you got Cirelli. Like, you just, you know, there's a lot of not so great players on the Leafs and Lightning in the bottom half of their lineups. Like, their bottom six to me are kind of similar in the fact that there's not a lot of big name guys, but just the talent that's on display on the ice tonight. I thought it was so great going both ways. Nyes gets the two, they get a power play goal. Like, I really, really enjoyed this game tonight. I thought it was a great, fantastic showcase of skill. Love
it. Really, really fun. I want to start with or go to what you mentioned though. It was like, this was a game of timely goals for Leafs. And none more timely than the end of the second period when Matthew Nyes gets his first goal of the game on what I thought was just like an awesome play by him, right? Like, again, a guy who's hunting. Leafs were great at turning Tampa Bay over, like around the neutral zone and kind of like winning battles in this game. And this was kind of just another example of that, where Nyes just beats everybody to the net, catches Tampa kind of slipping. Beautiful little finish there for him.
Yeah,
but
just the grain.
Loved the play, loved the just hockey IQ, loved that he won battles, just kind of like a really complete play for me.
Yeah, that line tonight was awesome. I thought they were really, really controlled play for long stretches. And I think the most encouraging thing that's happened in this Toronto Maple Leaf season is what Austin Matthews looks like right now. Mm-hmm. And to me, if we can roll the first goal that they score, if we have that, the Matthews, when he comes down that wing, and this to me is such a, not, I don't know, vintage Matthews, but like just the way he swoops.
It's the burst.
The swoop in, like that drop the shoulder. He's got the speed. He's flying in there. It looks like he could go bar down, low block or low glove. Like whatever he wanted to do here, he's scoring. Shoots off that back foot like that. Hits the back of the net before Jonason or is it Johansson? Sorry, that lets it go in before he even knows it goes in the net. I was just so impressed with how good he looks. And this is an incredible development for the Leafs because, like I said last show, we were talking about how they're going to spend his money on LTIR. He didn't look like himself for long stretches of the season. This is such a great development, and for Team USA for that matter, which is less great for us in terms of being Canadian hockey fans. Mm-hmm. But it's just, he is all the way back defensively, winning pucks, cycling the puck, going to the front of the net dangerously, getting in the middle of the ice. I thought he was brilliant tonight. I was so blown away by him.
Yeah, he was awesome. Like, again, it's just to me, it's the burst that he has. Like, he looks like he's playing with a ton of confidence. The shot is all the way back. You're right. Like, I think there were points in the season where if you would have freeze framed that moment where he's coming down the ice there and he's got that clean look and you go like, is this going in? You'd have been like, yeah, maybe. Now it's like back to, no, this is definitely in the back of the net. You're right. He's going to pick a spot. Even try to Michigan tonight, which was gorgeous.
He almost got killed. Paul let up on him like at the last second because he thought he was going to hit him in the head. Yeah. But Paul could have just absolutely buried him there.
I can't believe he didn't. That was so pure. That was just like, I'm like a little bit old school with this stuff where there's been times where it's like Trevor Zegras, right? He's trying it and he gets hammered for it. I thought that was like the right play there. Puck's bouncing, just scoops it, clean as a whistle. You can see
he's amazing. I even imagine how good you are at hockey to have that thought process.
Yeah.
Like that is just an insane thought process.
Not quickly.
Sees the puck on its edge, picks it up and gets it. And like, that's a great save. I didn't think he had a chance to, I thought, as soon as he got it right here, if you're watching on Sportsnet Plus, I'm like, that's in. I thought for sure it was in. And then, Paul takes mercy on his soul by not burying him in the chin with that play, though. I got to ask you, this is a super old guy question. What do you have more fatigue? You have more Michigan fatigue or goalie goal fatigue?
Neither. I love both. Okay. Love fun.
Yeah.
Into both. Goalie goal to me is about
as love exciting goal. As I love goal. I love goalie goals. Not as much of a Michigan man anymore. Not as much again, as not. I'm not much of a Tom Brady anymore. Not a Michigan man.
You're misconstruing me here, though. Like I said, I think there are times in games like if you're Trevor Zegras down three goals in a Ducks game and you're like purposefully trying to do that as the highlight of the season.
Sure.
I hate it. But when you're Austin Matthews and you're playing with a bunch of confidence and your line is caved in Tampa for large portions of the night, when you, Marner, and Nyes are going and the puck rolls like that, and you can think about it on the fly, like that was the right play. There's nothing that he could have done better right there in that moment than try that Michigan. Force the goalie to make an incredible save. I love it. I think it's good for the game to have that kind of stuff, right? Like fans love it. You know, there's a we don't need to do like Steph Curry. How are the kids going to be reacting if they see a Michigan goal in Toronto? Are they all going to be trying to practice the next day? Like, that's what a good coach is for. I love it. I just think
That's all kids want to do now anyway is the Michigan. And they want to.
I will say this.
It's like, already happened. That's already happened.
I'm not normally as impressed by it anymore. Like, it doesn't blow my socks off when I see it. Like, the way that when we first started to see it, you were like, oh, my God. Uh-huh. But I love it. I think it's great. Yeah. I'm a big fan of it. You know what else I'm a big fan of? William Nylander just gets breakaways. Like, we've been making this joke now every single show. Matthews said it. Nobody gets more breakaways. Two again tonight. One he scores on. The other is an awesome save by Johansson.
Yeah, I thought the goal he scored is just low blocker snap. Makes it look so easy. It's amazing. It's amazing. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, I don't know how to explain it. For him,
I got a bit of an explanation for him.
I mean, he's got a great read of the game. Yeah. I don't know if you heard – I don't know if you heard the soliloquy Berube went on today. Berube gives 15-second answers, and then I was asked about Willie this morning by Steve Simmons, asked him a great question about figuring out Willie, and the predecessors tried to figure out Willie, and like, do you feel like you're figuring out Willie? It was a fantastic question, and he went on for like a minute and a half talking about how much like he loves Willie and loves talking to Willie, and like then that like quote that he said, the one that popped about, I'm not trying to figure him out, I'm trying to hear him out, the whole thing. But he said in that answer that he's got a great read for the game, and he does. He's got the goal scorer's instinct. He knows when the puck's up near the blue line, he's sniffing. He's a hound dog up there. Yeah. He's looking. He's near the fire hydrant, but he's sniffing and he finds it, and he gets in on net. And when it's one-on-one versus a backup goalie, I can tell you what the result's usually going to be. It's going to hit the back of the net.
Like obviously there's an element of cheating to some of this stuff, right? Like he's
a huge element, like maybe the biggest
element. Yeah.
But, the number one element.
But well, I do think that a lot of it is what you said though, where it's just like the way he reads the play and the IQ of it all, like it's like there's a reason that this is happening for this guy. It's like, yeah, it's a combination of the two. But it's like you get away with the cheating a lot more when you put it in the back of the net routinely on those breakaways, right? Like, and when you can just blow away your competition, when you get that step because your skating is so great, like no one's going to catch you. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, we're seeing in the chat, like a couple of people being like, yeah, that's the, just like it's floating Nylander. It's like, no, I don't think it's that. I don't think that this is just purely cheating. I think it's a combination of that and his elite hockey IQ. And again, his skating, it's just like it's a combination of all of those things.
His acceleration is just unbelievable. Yep. Like he may not be the fastest guy in the league, but his point from stop to top speed, there can't be many guys that are better. Like it's just like what we saw it on Saturday night with when he goes up against Lane Hutson with a kid on his back and it doesn't matter. He's just faster, stronger, and he accelerates past him. And his acceleration is edge work. It's just out of this world. And I really, when he's in on a breakaway like that, it's just basically writing home to mama about it. It's hitting the back of the net. So another impressive night for him. I thought he was good digging at pucks tonight. He stripped one of their guys, one of the guys that I had never heard of on their team in the bottom half of the lineup. He stripped him from behind, had a chance in on net, thought he was firing, made a great breakaway pass to Bobby McMahon on the breakaway for him to go in. And they definitely have the book, the backup goalie, low, shoot low, because Bobby McMahon goes in on the breakaway right after Matthew shoots five hole. McMahon tries to go five hole, misses, hits it on the pad. They like the low on this guy. So there you go.
Work for them tonight. After they get shut out by Vancouver, they get one goal the following game. All of a sudden, the offense definitely feels like it's back. Power play gets another goal tonight. So that unit's starting to feel like a little bit more pressure off of them.
I got some power play thoughts.
Yeah, what are they?
I thought there's a couple things tonight. The first thing I'll say is that's such a huge moment in the game that they get their power play out there right after Radish. And by the way, Radish just been haunting my dreams since junior hockey. Him and the Erie Otters just shot holes in the attack. We were so good one year, and it just we thought we were going to go to the final. Him and his damn brother just shooting holes through the attack goal. I can't stand the Radishes. Anyways, he makes it 3-2. You immediately get a power play, and you're just in the zone, lethal, and you stretch the lead. You get the winning goal on your power play, and that's the game. Like, that's what good teams do. That's what the Oilers do. That's what the Jets do. That's how you stretch out these leads, and you have these elite guys, and it's like, this is what it should look like. It should be a problem for other teams. It should be a threat. And here we go now, watching this again, where one of their star players who usually plays on the power play goes out, and it starts to get hot. So Matthews goes out for a long period of time. It immediately is hot as a pistol. Tavares is now out. It's immediately hot as a pistol. If Savvy's not writing that down in his little book here, like, it's something, man.
Like, you know what I think, though, the bigger thing is?
Not to do the classic basketball thing here. There's only one ball, baby. Like, yeah. It's just, there's two. McMahon's the perfect guy out there that's like a digger, like, can shoot it, good in the bumper. Like, you can't have all the top guys on one unit. There's only one puck, buddy. Only one ball.
Yeah, I do think that there's a couple things with it. One is just when you see that unit, McMahon is having a great season, good finisher, a guy that is not going to hold on to it too long, right? Knows that his leash on that power play is short. So if he's not making quick reads and he's not moving around, then he's going to get pulled from it. So I like the urgency that he brings. Yeah. But the biggest thing to me with this is like, yeah, it's Marner, man. Like, him operating from that position where he's at the point, and like, even a couple of times tonight, you saw Marner try to like lay some bombs, right? And what do we always say about the blue line is there's not enough shooting from up top on the unit. And again, tonight it's like created because Marner is shooting from up top and not afraid to put the puck on the net. It's like when he's off and when he's playing the half wall, there's obviously much more, like, he doesn't have as clean of a look at the lanes. He doesn't have as clean of a look at the net. He's far more reluctant to actually shoot the puck. And I like that he's actually a threat to shoot on that unit. And he's the best passer on the team. And just having him in that position to me is like, that's the number one thing that's going to continue to make this thing work. I just like when he has more of the puck on his stick on the power play, when he has more time and space to be able to make decisions, and when he can kind of decide which way he's going to end up creeping with it or shooting it. Like, to me, that's actually the bigger part than it is like having Tavares out.
Yeah, I think that's fair, 100%. But it wasn't great when they were doing five forwards and Tavares was there, when they've had all the five guys. It's just,
but I also think there's like going to be an acclimation time for all of these guys in general too, right? And like, you can go through.
For sure. But I mean, it's just, it's not to me a coincidence.
Hey, guess what though? Get ready to see it again, because
for sure they're gonna jam it down your throat 100%.
There's one theme so far with this team. It's like they're not changing off of the top guys getting a ton of minutes. What do you think about the blue line tonight?
I was gonna ask you about Riley because they put Riley with the team's most important player. Mm-hmm. They're like just tape. They're the meme where he's putting the tape over top of the water. That's like, it's like Morgan Riley, Jake McCabe. They just slam him on there. And God bless
McCabe. Taking different looks, though. Like,
God bless McCabe.
Ultimately, we know that McCabe Tanev works the best. Sure. And like, what happened in the last game where it was like they just benched
Myers, my boy,
and they went with the five-man rotation, and you started to see kind of like the different looks. And I went, okay, like, I like this. I liked the deployment. I thought OEL was good again, like really liked that pass that he actually makes on the Matthews goal, like snaps it out, denies.
He's trending up here. He's been good for like three or four games. It's heading back in the right direction for him. He went down a little lull, but it's really heading back for him. I think him and Tanev's a good pair, and I think it kind of lets Oliver Ekman-Larsson open up his offense a little bit. I just, God love Jake McCabe for just being like, okay. And I thought the Amazon broadcast actually did a great job. I think it was Hickey talking about how much he was playing off in his, like, on his backhand, and they highlighted all the plays that he was having to make on his backhand. And it just is like, poor TJ Brody had to do this for 2 years, playing with a broomstick, trying to chop it out on his backhand for 2 years with Leaf fans breathing down his neck.
Yeah.
And now Berube's doing it to the team's best defenseman, their MVP, Jake McCabe. But I thought he was really solid again tonight. There was one moment where, I don't know if we have that clip, when Marner gets hammered by Chafee, I think, and like the closest guy is McCabe, and I'm like, oh my god, not again. I was like, not again.
Good for him though. Like,
no, for sure. This is like, it's a great solid hit. He does it all he needs to do. This is enough of a response where he goes over to him, holds him a bit, obviously says, you know what, like says some pleasantries to him, leans on him. That's enough of a response to a clean hit in a hockey game in a third period, and that's fine. But there was a moment where I'm like, no, Jake. No, don't do what you do always. Don't be the warrior that you are. And he didn't.
Had the exact same thought where I was just like, oh my God, he has to be the guy that's right there. Like, and you can see it. Like in that little shot, that you can really see it where it's like, he's making the business decision in his mind. Like, what do I do here? Let it go. Just like, you can see it right there.
You're coming in. He's like, what am I doing? Yeah,
exactly.
And if it was a more than a one goal game here in the third period, maybe Nyes jumps him, or maybe, but I thought that was the perfect response.
Yeah.
Nyes says something to him on the way by, gives him a little shot, nothing serious. Good hit. And it's really jarring to see Marner get hit like this. Yeah. Never gets hit.
No.
Like in his whole career, how many times has he been hit?
Great 10 point. Times? How many times have you ever seen him just go like, ass over tea kettle there?
Never.
Like, very, very rare.
Never.
Very, very rare.
So,
good for Marner though. Like, braces for the contact. He's going in to try to make a play on the boards and knows he's going to eat one, and just gets launched.
Tough one for him. Yeah, but I thought it's no surprise that Riley has his best night in a long time playing alongside McCabe. And
that's what I was going to say though, is like, I actually thought the D was good tonight. Like, I know they gave up some goals, but it's like there's one where it's like a set play, right? Like, there was nothing – I didn't feel like any of them were off of, like, really horrific plays by the Leafs.
I was going to say that Riley tonight looked the best, and me and Borny got in an argument. Just look at how much he played tonight. 20-45 for him. Yep. Got into a bit of an argument with Borny today on the show just about how, you know, I hate breaking up Evan McCabe to, like, try to, you know, propel your $7.5 million defenseman to, like, play well. That's not really what you should be doing. I thought that maybe you play, like, what did Riley play on Saturday? 16, 15 minutes? Like, he really was down from his usual time. And to be honest with you, his play until tonight kind of warranted that to me. Like, where it's just, he's kind of playing bottom pair minutes for this team right now. Cause I mean, they're playing with Myers. So that kind of was part of it. But if you can get this version of Riley playing him with McCabe, and McCabe can hold up playing on his offside, and Tanev and all of Rekman Larson can be good together, you're starting to exhale a little bit about your decor. So we'll see how it goes going forward. But we're definitely seeing this against on Wednesday against Columbus again, right? They'll definitely be rolling this exact same thing out.
I love it. I think it's great. First of all, Morgan Riley's one of your leaders, and you know he's eating it, and you don't want to lose him. Like, it's already a tough, obviously, adjustment for him.
Yeah.
Going into this style, like this play stylistically, it's tough enough for him that he's losing power play time. And that, and kudos to him for this too, man. Like, Morgan Riley's the one guy in the like big paid dudes group that when he gets taken off that power play, it's like, it's not even a story here in terms of whether or not he's going to be willing and accepting of that role. Like, say whatever you want about his play this season. Morgan Riley is one of the highest character guys on the entire team. He's having a brutal season. He's taking it from all angles, and he doesn't really seem to be wearing it that way. Hasn't been sulky in the media. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he's been taking all the arrows and he's been fine with it. And if you're their coach,
but we've never, ever once questioned, like, we all have given him the longest leash ever because of how great of a guy and how great of a speaker and how great of a leader he is.
Sure. But my point here is that I get the thought of, like, why is it always something trying to fix Morgan Riley? And that is like a genuine question that this team has to figure out and answer for its future, right? Like, when they're going, why is it always that we have to find the right partner for the guy that's making $7.5 million? That question, I think, is totally a fair one. But the idea that the coach would take one of the better defensemen and say, you know what, you've played on your right side before, I need you to be the stabilizing force for Riley right now. We know what we have in Tanev and McCabe. Like, you know what that is. Rock solid. It's going to work. And guess what? Even when they break up the pairings, they're still going to go to it late when they're protecting leads, which is what my point was about the last game that they just played, where they went down to five defensemen. They were rolling through the defense. And at times, they were still showing the look of Tanev with McCabe on defensive zone draws, and when they like were late in the hockey game.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, you already have one known commodity. Why not try to get Riley going, see what you have with the other guys, and actually take a peek ahead of the deadline in terms of what your needs might be. Again, I get the thing. I get the premise of the Riley stuff. I'm not trying to like take pressure off him. He's got to be better. But giving him a guy that he could actually play with who was like, yeah, going to kill plays and help with some of the stuff that are the warts of Riley's game, I thought was like a actual nice stroke for Berube tonight. Like, I was very behind it. I loved the thinking. Get your good players going. That's what you need to do. You need to engage your best guys. And that was a move for Berube to do it, and it worked tonight. I thought it worked well, and it definitely warrants another look.
For sure. You're doing this again on Wednesday. Yep. Against Columbus.
Rapid fire?
Yeah, rapid fire.
I don't know how that puck didn't go in the net.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was amazing play by Tanev. Amazing backhander by Braden Point.
Yeah.
Braden Point,
top five guys I can't wait to root for on Team Canada.
Braden Point may be the best player on the ice tonight for long stretches.
He was
you know, there's a lot of great players in this game, and Matthews and Marner were brilliant. And I thought, you know, like, there's a lot of great players out there. Willie scores, breakaway, speeding up and down the ice. But just Braden Point to me is like Canadian hockey exemplified, just heart and soul, pace, just like dog in him, back check, forecheck, like everything you want in a
He was the complete opposite from Kucherov tonight. Like, there were so many moments where I was like,
murder him.
This guy definitely has to remember, like, this guy had 100 assists last year. This guy's one of the best players in the NHL. This guy's carried us to Stanley Cups. Like, he had to be having one of those nights because he was giving it his all. But that puck, like, if we can see it even just one more time, it goes off the crossbar and then somehow like bounces off, like, again, this is the magic bullet, off the crossbar, off the goal line, and dribbles out the opposite way, and Tampa has a guy sitting right there on the doorstep.
Gensel, like, how does it not
wow. Yeah, like, that is one of the most, like, I can't believe it. That's three different points of how did this puck not go in, and it's Jake Gensel that's right there. Unreal. I can't believe it. I texted you right away. I was like, there's no way that puck didn't go in the net. And it didn't somehow.
It's a miracle of modern science that first bounce didn't just take it into the net.
Yeah, of course.
With the momentum to have it bounce back out towards the slot is crazy.
Three miracles.
But yeah, no. And then Tanev, Johnny
checks up on the goal line too. It's like
Johnny in the spot though. Tanev, like, that's just classic Tanev. Couldn't you picture that in a playoff game where that happens and he's just there sweeping it away? Mm-hmm. I mean, this game to me had big time playoff vibes. Like, these two teams, I really do think that, I guess Leafs are kind of, they're doing well here in the Atlantic now. Like, this is a few regulation wins, and like they beat these guys in regulation, who's a team that's chasing them. Like, they are actually kind of in decent shape here to continue to build their lead. But this would be a fun playoff series again, these two teams. It really would be. And I think they're poised. Them hiding Vasilevskiy's an X factor to me, because the Leafs really seem to have figured him out and they really don't have any fear of him. And I do think that it would be a good good matchup for the Leafs potentially in a second round if they could ever get there, which seems like a lot to ask. But yeah, man, I love this game tonight, as I said off the top.
If you did get a playoff series, you would definitely fear Nick Paul, who shockingly, what does he have now against the Leafs? Seven?
So he was five coming into, but that's regular season. So I don't know what it was in the playoffs. But he scored the two in the game seven, obviously. He's a really good hockey player. Yeah. He is, you know, I watch a lot of Tampa on other nights. Like, he's a really, like, good trade, Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe you should have just paid him. Like, why did they trade him? Did they trade him for? No, he didn't stink.
No,
they traded him for nothing. Oh, they stunk. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, I mean, you're trying to get better. He's not old. I think they traded him for maybe Joseph, one of the Joseph brothers, if I'm not mistaken. Matthew Joseph. Does that sound right? They traded him for nothing.
Yeah.
Here, I'll quickly do it. But yeah, he's really, really good player. Huge hockey
player. And he was a pending UFA. Like, he wanted a chance to go win somewhere. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I understand the thought process behind it, but it's like, yeah.
Matthew Joseph and fourth round pick.
Yeah, I was going to say there had to be a pick in there. Oof. But yeah, still not a great trade.
Yeah, not a great trade.
No, not a...
Especially to a division rival, and like now you're trying to be good, and he's a really, really effective player, man. Yeah, he's a heart and soul kind of player. He's just in the right spots, big. Yeah. And yeah, he owns the Leafs. And it feels like he has 38 against the Leafs.
I know, but he's only got the 7. And again, the playoffs, it's like that's what is making you think about it, because he scored huge goals against the Leafs in the playoffs, and he's like terrifying. And again, he's just like, he's a version of their Knies, where it's like he knows the spots to be around the net. Yeah. He's a big body that it's hard to move. And then when he gets his opportunities, it feels like he doesn't really make any mistakes with it. Like, that's just like, simple, easy, just, tap it in.
The last time Leafs played these guys, I remember talking about how their power play, I was like, without Stamkos, it's definitely different. I'm like, seems like they might have figured it out. They're snapping it around pretty good tonight.
Last thing for me, 3 straight games for Holmberg, drawn a penalty.
Yeah, and almost dying tonight. God, that was a violent crash into the boards. That was really, really violent. And it was no malice. His stick was out there trying to block the shot. Ends up going in, but Holmberg's been good. He got elevated for a reason. Yep. He's given them more than Max Domi is in terms of pace, in terms of pushing the play, in terms of just two-way hockey. There's a reason that he got moved up and Domi got moved down. He's been good. And he hit the boards hard tonight. Jesus.
Here's the thing, too, between the two guys, because I was thinking about it tonight, and I was thinking about it going into this game, how he got the bump up. He absolutely deserved it. It's been a short run of games where he's been playing well. But you know what the most simple difference is between the two guys?
Tell me.
Look where the two of them go on the ice. Like, look where Holmberg's drawing these penalties, and look at where Domi was all night long with his offense.
Goes to the net.
Yeah, goes to the net.
Yeah.
He'll play in the middle of the ice, and like Max Domi, like, it's different kind of player for sure. And now he's kicked out to the wing, but God, where do you see
Domi,
him?
You know, Domi played tonight. No goals, no assists, obviously. Yeah. Dash one.
Yeah.
And he's 11-21 tonight.
Yeah. But like playing on the outside, dude, the whole time. Like he's along the boards. He's looking for guys. He had one little backhand play where it was like he kind of got a step on somebody, had a chance. It's like all the perimeter doesn't drive the net, just kind of flips it towards the net. It is what it is. So I don't mind them going with him on the second line for sure and promoting him over Domi. Anyways, that's it for me. You got anything else?
Liked Bobby McMahon again tonight.
Yep. Just solid. You can just put that down in paper for every show.
Honestly, though, like this guy is unbelievable value.
Yeah.
And Kipper was probably right. Like they probably should have held out for a little more cash, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I
was on your guys' show.
Yeah, but he was yelling at me before he ever even signed. The day he signed, we did the show. And I was saying that he should have taken the day he signed. I remember that. But I was saying that before that, Kipper was like, this guy's going to get $4 million a year. This guy's going to get $4 million. I was like, Jesus, Kipper, this is Pontus Holmberg offer sheet all over again here. But, what does he have now? 14 goals? He didn't score tonight, but I think he's got 13 or 14 goals tonight. Like, he's a valuable guy.
And he stands out on this team.
At that cap hit, flies up and down the ice. Seems to have a little bit of chemistry with Willie all of a sudden. Like him and like they both fly up the wings, and if Holmberg can kind of hold it down until they get Tavares back or get another center, he's a really valuable guy, and makes you wonder about the playoff series last year, which is crazy to say, but he's healthy. Matthews is healthy with the whole thing. Nylander, it's a different story. He's really good. He's really good. No, he is an X-factor for this team.
All right. Yeah, I think that he's going to be hopefully he's going to provide secondary scoring come playoff time. All right, that's it for us. Follow the show on Spotify, follow it on iTunes. It means a lot when you subscribe to that, even if you are a YouTube watcher and you miss the odd one. To have it in the feed is important. Hit the thumbs up on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @JD Bunkus @Sammy McKee. And we will see you on Wednesday night against the Blue Jackets.